Begin the current daf itself. Zivam is daf kuf yud beis. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. And that is, the Mishnah had said, if within 30 days of when, quote-unquote, the Yavam brought the Yavam into his household to consummate the relationship, that of the Zika of Yibum, and then within 30 days she comes and she says, he never did be with me. And the Mishnah said that she's believed, because a person can withhold from having Bia, even if he has a woman available, up to 30 days. So the Mishnah said, so we don't just request of him, we believe her, and that the Zika bond is still there, so we force him to go ahead and do Chalitza. So that the Gemara asks, Achat Kaifenoise Lachlitz, until you go and you force him to do Chalitza, Nichfenu Liabim. Why don't you force him to do Yibim? In other words, there is a Zika bond over here, and we believe her that the bond is still there. He didn't just go ahead and take care of it by doing Bia, because her claim is that, no, he didn't. Now, so the Zika bond is still there, so we force him. But what do you force him? Why do you say you force him to do Chalitza? Why don't you say you force him to do Bia? In other words, yes, we force him to do one or the other, but why Chalitza and not Yibum? Sama Rav, he says, B'shekita yoytzim tachas yada, as we had explained on the previous daf, based on this interpretation of Rav, we're talking about that he already gave her a get. Now, since he already gave her a get, obviously a get invalidates from doing Yibum, but her claim is that she never had Bia, so there's still the Zika over there, and therefore you have to go ahead with Chalitza and not with Yibum. Now, the Gemara's assumption now in Rav is that he gave her a full-fledged get, that for a Bia. In other words, after a man has a Bia with a woman, in the context of Yibum, so he has already taken her as a full-fledged wife, and then he gives her a get. So that's the Gemara's assumption. So on that, the Gemara has Meisvei. We learn the following Braisa, that Yavama Sha'amar B'teich Shleishim Yoyim, again, like the case of our Mishnah, where Yavama within 30 days says, Lo Yinavalti, he didn't have Bia with me yet. So Bein Shuhu Oimer Bialti, Bein Shuhu Oimer Loi Bialti, whether he says he did Bia, whether he says he didn't do Bia, doesn't make a difference. Kaifer Naisei Sheyach Litzla, we believe her, and we force him to go out and do Chalitza with her. Now that's exactly the case that we're discussing in our Mishnah, which the Gemara is going to continue quoting the Braisa, which will seem to reflect on that case and ask in Rav. The Braisa continues and says, La'achar Shleishim Yoyim, let's say she makes this claim after 30 days, well then only Mevakshinim and the Sheyach Litzla, as we learn in the Mishnah, then we only request from him to do Chalitza, because actually we don't believe her then. We say that a man would not be able to withhold having Bia after 30 days, and therefore we essentially believe that he did do Bia, and therefore the Zika is not there anymore. But since she was Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Deisur, she's claiming that it didn't happen, and therefore she, for all halachic requirements, requires Chalitza, so we make the request of him. Now the Braisa continues on this case of when it's after 30 days. Let's say it's the other way around. Let's say here Meres Nivalti, she says, he did be with me. Voimer Loi Bialti says, no, I didn't. I know it's already 2 months later. I didn't do be with you. So that the Braisa says, Hareza Yaitzi Beget. So that type of a woman, that if he wants to go ahead and remove her, it's enough with a get, because actually we believe her, because again, a man would not be able to hold back so much, more than 30 days, more than a month, not to have Bia, and therefore we believe her that there was Bia, and therefore, just like any Yavim that does Bia with the Yavama, if he wants to remove her, all she needs is a get and not a Chalitza. Now let's say, who I'm a Bialti. Let's say he says, which is after 30 days, he says, I did a Bia. After 30 days, a man's not going to hold himself back. But she says, no, he didn't do Bia with me. Now that the Braisa says, even though he later retracted this, he says, no, it's true. She's right. I never did Bia. In spite of that, the Braisa says, tzricha get, she needs a get. Now why does she need a get? For the Bia, quote unquote, that he had with her, because he originally said that he did Bia with her. Now, according to the first interpretation of the Gemara of this Braisa, which is what the questioner is holding, this is the chiddush of the Afal Pi, that although he chazav amaloi ba'alti, although he later retracted said he didn't need Bia, in spite of that, they do need a get, because originally he had said that he did Bia, and as we said, after 30 days, he's believed to say that there was a Bia, because a regular man will have Bia if it's after 30 days. So she requires a get for Chalitza. And additionally, she needs Chalitza because, yes, although he's not required because he's believed to say that he did Bia, if there's Bia, there's no Mazika, but she is, again, based on the principle of Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Deisura, where she's made herself now forbidden because she says, he never did Bia with me. That means the Zika is still intact. But one thing the Gemara is asking on Rav is from the fact that the Braisa says that Tzricha Get, she needs a Get. Obviously, the Bryce's cases are talking about when she's not coming with a Get. So then the question comes back on the Reisha. Why does the Reisha say, according to Rav, you should be able to force him to do Yibam, meaning either or, because the whole reason why Rav said that in the Mishnah, the Koyfen Oyselachloitz, is because she already has a Get. But in the Braisa, you can't say that, because the Braisa, obviously, as we see from the Sefer, is talking about a case when she didn't have a Get. Because if she had a Get already, what does it mean, Tzricha Get? She already has a Get. So that's the question on Rav. So Amar Bami Rabami says that the truth is like Rav had interpreted. And you could say that even in the Braisa, that she already has a Get. But what the Braisa is saying is, Tzricha Chalitza Im Gita. She needs a Chalitza with her Get. In other words, she already has a Get. But in spite of that, she needs chalitza too. Now Rashi explains that here, according to Rabami, the afal pi'ol even so changes the way he interprets that it's going on that we request of him. In other words, that although he went and he retracted himself and he says, you know what, it's true, I never did a bia, where you could say then, oh, wait a minute. So then you force him to do chalitza because you yourself agree that you never did bia. If you didn't do bia, well then there's a zika bond here. You have to do something for it. Now, that's what it's saying, that afapi, even though that's the case, we do not force them. Rather, like the terminology of the Brice is, it's Sricha. She needs Chalitza. And however, but if he doesn't want to do Chalitza, we do not force him. And the reason is because we rely on his original statement, because he originally said that he did Bia. And since it's after 30 days, we believe him. So therefore, we're saying that, yes, although now she does need, but we don't force him to give the chalitz. That's the afapi. It's not the afapi on the get, because actually we're not making any get. There's already a get from before, as Rav had interpreted. And that's why in the ratio we say koifin is a lachlitz. It's just saying that tzricha get v'chalitza, the get that she already has. Additionally, she has to have a chalitza. But again, the afapi is saying that although he himself retracted, we don't force him. She just needs the chalitza, because his original statement is believed since it's after 30 days. That's one resolution for Rav. Vashem, he says that the truth is that, no, like the Pashat understanding of the Brisa is that she needs another get. Now, and that's besides the first get, because Rav said that you need to have been coming with a get already before, because if not, we wouldn't say in the Risha Koyvenes Alachlis, we would say Koyvenes Eliyabim. But, Hasam get Lizikasai. What Rav is discussing is when he gave the get for the Zika, where he never yet did Bia. Now, when he first gives a get for the Zika, she then becomes, and that's again why it's not like how we had assumed in the Gemara's question from the Brice, the Gemara had assumed that the get that he's giving her is for the Bia that he had with her. Now, that's what Rav Ashi is answering, that no, the get that Rav's saying that we don't go ahead and now force to do Yibam is because you can't do Yibam. She becomes possible to do Yibam because he gave her the get for the Zika. Now, that's why we don't force for Yibam again. That's not possible. But since he does say Bialti, so now he needs another get. He needs a get for his Bia, because halachically, get is only rabbinic in the context of Yibam. So Bia, which is a biblical halach in Yibam, could still be chal, could still take and be acquired in the Yavama, which is essentially what the Bryce is talking about, where Hacha, the Bryce is talking about get lebiasai. The Bryce is talking about, yes, you need another get. What do you mean another get? As Rav had interpreted, the case that we're talking about, why Koyfen is Alach, it's because you already have a get. Yes, but that's a get for the Zika. You gave a get, first thing you meet the Yavama, you give her a get. Now that's only rabbinic halacha. Then when he has Bia with her, that could still be take effect, because biblically Bia can still be Chal, because biblically there's nothing that was done here with that get. And therefore, you need another get for that Bia. Now, that's what Rashi explains. Now, according to Rav Ashi's interpretation, the Afalpi could be like, as we had said before, that although he retracted and he said, no, it's true, like she's saying, I never had Bia, and you could say that, so she shouldn't require a get, only Chalitza, if he never did Bia, so therefore she's just like a regular Yavama. Even so, that's the Chiddush in saying that, no, she will require a get, because again, of the Bia that he had. And that's what we're saying, because of the Bia. Oh, so Bia could take effect. Now, for that biblical Bia, which was done, you need a get to remove her besides the Chalitza, because again, she's saying, and even he's agreeing ultimately, that he really never had Bia with her. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha, that Hanu Shnei Emoidim. There was an incident where both of them, the Yavam and the Yavama, agreed that he never did bia with her, although he had originally said that he did bia. The Asla came to Rava, they came in front of Rava for the halacha. So Amalu Rava said to them, Chalutzla, go give her chalitza, v'shar l'tigren, just finish up this whole court case, it's nothing, just do chalitza. You're both agreeing that you never had bia. Somebody Rav Shravi LaRava says, Vatan, but we learned in the sprice that we just quoted before, Tzricha get v'chalitza. And that is, even when he first said, when he first said Bialti, although he later retracted, that we see that you do need a get and a chalitza. So I said, Itan, you're right. If you have such a brisa, tanoik opinion like that, so then you have a brisa, and that's true that it wouldn't be enough just to do chalitza, because since originally he had said bialti, so that bia mandates for us to require not just chalitza but also a get. Now the Gemara continues. Boimine hoin bereid Rav Nachman midrav Nachman. So hoin, which was his name, the son of Rav Nachman, asked Rav Nachman, tsarasum mahu. Where does this halacha fit in with the co-wife? In other words, we're discussing a case here where there could have been many wives, and the Yavam took one of the Yavamas, and that when you take one of the Yavamas, so all the other co-wives are allowed to go ahead and marry other people. Now, at a later point in time, which the Rishayim debate is that's within 30 days or after 30 days, but either way, it's the Yavama that at a later point in time, she brings up this whole issue, which no one had known without her, says, I never had bia. Now, she becomes Aser, without requiring, let's say, chalitza, because she's saying that the zikban is still here. What's the halacha for the tzara, the co-wife? Is she still forbidden? Because that means to say the zikban is still here, or not? Or do we assume that no, the yavam definitely did be with the yavama? Samalei, Rav Nachman responded to him. He says, do you think because we forced or that we request, depending if it's within 30 days, after 30 days, because of her own halachic problem, because she's creating the problem. She's doing shavisech nafshechaticha diyisur. She's saying, look, I'm forbidden. I can't just go ahead and marry someone else if I get a get, because he never did bia. The zikaban is still there, and then you have to do chalitza or something. So because of her, we'll make the co-wife forbidden? Of course we're not going to make her forbidden. Because again, the chazaka is, the assumption is, that the yavam that was kindness to Isha went and did bia right away. And yes, she can then go ahead and create areas of maybe we'll force him, maybe we'll ask. But regarding the tzara, we go based on the chazaka. And of course, she will not become forbidden based on this whole discussion that the yavam is creating by saying that that the yavam never did bia with me. Now the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that said, Hanideres Hana v'chulu, that if the wife, that her husband just died without any children, when her husband was still alive, she said, you know what, my brother-in-law, I really upset at him, making an oath, I'm never having pleasure from him ever again. Now, so that the Mishnah said, so then when her husband dies without any children, and there she falls for Yibim for the Yavam, so then we force him to go ahead and do Chalitza, and the reason is because she didn't premeditate to make it forbidden for her to do Yim. She didn't entertain her husband's going to die. But if she made it after the husband already died, so then we don't force him because that's her own fault that she created this situation that he can't go ahead and do Yim with her. Now, Tanan Hasam, the Gemara introduces a Mishnah Masechet Nedarim that will be related to this halach in the Mishnah. The Mishnah there says, B'rishayin HaYayim, originally Chazal said, Shalosh Nashim Yaitis, there are three women that leave their husband, and they take their ksuba, although it was them that created this requirement for them to have to leave their husband, they could go ahead and take their dara with them. And they are, let's say, the wife of a kayin, who hayimerish, she tells her husband, Tamei anilach, I'm tamei to you. In other words, I was forcibly violated by another man, which by the wife of a kayin becomes forbidden to. Now, moreover, she doesn't lose her ksuba because it's not her own fault. Another man violated her. Well, let's say a woman tells her husband, Hashemayim beini lebeincha, heaven is between me and you. In other words, heaven knows that you never have tashmish cohabitation with me the way regular people do, but there's no one to say testimony because who's going to know what's going on behind closed doors? But heaven is between me and you. And therefore, this is not a bearable type of situation for marriage. So we force her that she could leave and she gets her ksuba. Or if she says, a woman tells her husband, Netula ani mina yehudim, I am forbidden for Jewish men. In other words, she's taking a neder that she's not having bia with any Jewish man. Now, What you see from such a strong statement is that from the fact that she's making herself forbidden to intimacy with any man and that's a Jewish man, obviously that tashmish, cohabitation, is very difficult for her, and therefore she's what's called ananusa. It's something that's beyond her control, and therefore when she leaves, obviously because they're not having intimacy, they're not going to be able to stay married, so she takes her ksuba. Again, because all these three cases essentially are not her fault, she's an anusa, and therefore, of course, if they, now they have to leave the marriage, so then they get the ksuba. But Chazru Leimer, our sages retracted to say that Shaloi Tehei Eisha Nisena Seineo Ba'ach, we're concerned that maybe the woman will see another man that's more desirable, and she's going to be Makakelas Albaile, she's going to ruin for her husband because she'll go somewhere else where they don't recognize her and the vow that she took that she's going to be forbidden for intimacy with any man, and she's going to get married to someone else because she really wants someone else. She just, how's she going to get out of this? So she makes up this claim, which then her husband has to divorce her, and she gets her ksuba. So we're concerned for this type of ploy. So Ella, rather, what we did for these three type of women was as follows. Haimeres Tamean Elach, a woman that tells her husband, look, I was violated by another man, you're a kain, I'm forbidden to you. Tavei Rayalit Varer, she has to bring proof, and if not, she's doesn't have it within her authority to make her forbidden on him. So until she brings proof, she's still staying married. Or the woman that says, "Hashemayim beinil beincha, heaven's between me and you," they know, heaven knows that you're not intimate with me like a regular person. Yasu derech bakasha. So what they do is they make a request from the husband to go ahead and have be with her in an appropriate type of a way. Netula nemin Yehudim, when she says, "I'm forbidden to any Jewish man from having bia." So Yafra Chelkai, so the husband goes, fine, be forbidden to every Jewish man besides me. He nullifies his part of that nether. Umeshamashtoi, and he has Tashmash with her. Utein, and 2 million Yehudim, and let her be forbidden from any other Jewish man. Again, we're concerned that maybe it's a ploy to get out and to get her money, and therefore we made these institutions with these three women. Now, Ibayilu, that the following question regarding that last case. Netula Animin Yehudim, when the woman makes the nether, says, look, I'm not having being with any man. I don't, it's something that's difficult for me, and therefore there's no reason for us to stay married, but it's I'm an anusa, so I get my ksuba. So the question is, liyavam mahu, what's the halacha regarding the yavam? In other words, when she made this neder, when her husband was still alive, is she going to be forbidden to the yavam inclusive of that? She said she's not having to be with any Jewish man. Now, the woman's saying this, and again, the way we were misakin is that the husband is yafur chalkai. So good, she's forbidden for everyone else, but she's permitted to the husband. What's the halacha when her husband dies without any children? Will she be forbidden to the yavim too or not? As you might explain the question. A nether goes based on what the person's intention is. We go with lashon b'nei adam, we go with the person's intention. What was her intention when she made the nether? Mi maska daita, did she even entertain the mayas bailam, that her husband's going to die without any children? V'nafli kama yavim, that she'll fall for yibim in front of the yavim? And if she entertained such a thought, so when she was making the neder on any man, that was also including the yavam. Now, the husband that's being made for his part, so he remains married with her, is only for his part. Now, the yavam cannot go ahead and be made for his part, because even if, quote, the yavam becomes like a husband, the husband cannot be what's called made for bekaidmim. If there's a vow before he got married, he cannot nullify that, only what she makes when she's married to him. And therefore, she's going to be forbidden to the yavam because she entertains that thought. Or maybe she doesn't entertain that. In other words, when she made the neder to make herself forbidden, she made it that anyone that she's permitted to, when her husband, quote, will divorce her, because that's what she's trying to do. We're concerned she's trying to get out of this marriage because she's someone else she wants to marry. Now, to calm down her husband, she says, look, don't suspect me that I'm trying to do this ploy, because actually, I'm going to be forbidden to any man and be, and therefore let me go and divorce me. Now, of course, her trick is to go somewhere where they won't know that she made the neder. Now, however, the yavam, her brother-in-law, who she's forbidden to after her husband will divorce her, because that's what she's trying to get, she never intended to make herself forbidden on him. And since that wasn't part of her neder, so essentially the question is, maybe she'll be permitted to him if her husband dies without any children and never ends up divorcing her, because he was never part of the nether. The nether was only for the men that she'd be permitted to when her husband will divorce her, which ultimately doesn't work because the sages figured that there could be such a ploy and the husband's made from Chalkoi and not the Chalik from the Yavam. So the question is, was he part of that thought process and therefore forbidden or not? So Rav Amar, he says, Yavam ain't a Kabbalah. He says, the Yavam is not like the husband, in other words, that by the husband, he had to go ahead and be made for Chalkoi. Now, the reason is because when she's saying I'm forbidden to everyone, obviously she's intending her husband too. So therefore, he had to be mefer. He had to nullify the part that makes him forbidden to have intimacy with her. But the yavam shall be permitted even without being mefer again, without him being mefer, because he was never part of it. She never entertained the yavam because she didn't think her husband was going to die without any children. She was just trying to get out of this marriage by getting divorced. Shmuel Amar, he says, no, yavam harehu kabal. The yavam is the same as the baal. She entertained him too. And therefore, she will be forbidden to him because he cannot be made for that chelik anymore because that was from before. And therefore, she'll be forbidden. Now, Abai says, kavaseh de Rav mistaber. It's logical to say, like Rav, that she's going to be permitted to the yavam. And the reason is because she never entertained anything about the yavam when she's making this neder as she's married to his brother, which is her husband. That's not like we learned in our Mishnah. And that's where the Gemara introduced this discussion. Our Mishnah said, "Hanederes hanoa miyavama b'chayi bala." If a woman went and said, "You know what, this brother-in-law of mine, I'm not having any pleasure from him whatsoever. I'm making a neder. I have nothing to do with him." So on that, the halacha was in our Mishnah that if her husband then dies without any children, guess what? She falls for yibum to this man. So kaifin is shiachlit. Since she didn't entertain this, we force him to do chalitza because she can't have yibum, obviously, because they're forbidden to have hanoa. Now, on that, Abaye says, Vim isa de maskadaita, if you would entertain like Shmuel, that the woman, when she's married to her husband, entertains when she's making a neder forbidding her, which would be even on her brother-in-law, the Yavam. So then the question is, as we continue on Tamid Beis, Mevakshin mibayalai. Then it shouldn't say we force him to do chalitza. We should say that, oh, that was her intention. She had in mind that even when her husband's going to die, oh, good, I'll be out of this situation. I won't have anything to do with him when he's going to try to do me. But that type of a case, as we learned in the Mishnah, when she causes the problem herself, then we don't force, then we only request. So why does the Mishnah say that we force? Obviously, you see, like Rav, that because she didn't entertain, and therefore it's not her fault. She didn't know this is going to happen. Therefore, we force, and we don't ask. And the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Because hachamai eskinan, we could be talking about in the Mishnah, be'isha shiesh labanim, where she not only was she married, but she had children. The kulahai lamaskadaita, she didn't entertain to think that not only is her husband going to die, her children going to die, and then by the time of Misa, she's going to be falling without any children to the oven. That she didn't entertain. Meaning, generally, you could say like Shmuel, that she does entertain. When she's making that it should be netulim and ayuhudim, forbidden from bia, from any Jewish man, that she's entertained the oven. In the Mishnah, where we say that she didn't entertain is because not only was she married, she also had children. But Abai continues to ask and to prove like Rav, because what's the understanding? Aval in labanamai, what are you saying? But if she didn't have children, then mevakshin, then you would say that, according to Shmuel, that yes, of course the halacha would be that we wouldn't force the yavam, because obviously she entertained the yavam, and it's her fault, so we would only make the request. Now, if that's the case, Abai says, adetoni, instead of the Mishnah saying, im niskam l'kach, oh, but if she intended it to be, then afil b'chai b'ayla, then even when her husband's still alive, mevakshim imen shiach l'law, then we only ask of him and we don't force him, because when she was married, she said, yeah, she was intending. Yeah, I know that if my husband's going to die, I'm not going to want to have anything to do with him. But why do you say that case? According to Shmuel, liflik v'lisni b'dida, we could have spliced and differentiated even in the case of when we say that we force. In other words, we could have said, when did we say that we force the yavam to do chalitzatar? That's only b'shiyesh labanim. That's only when she has children. Of ein labanim of action. But even if, not even the case of, you don't have to go so extreme to say that when she had premeditated, when she knew and she did on purpose, even if she didn't. Just by the fact when she doesn't have children, you would say that you only request and not force. Because again, according to Shmuel, that case she entertained, even without niskav nolakach. So Ella, rather, Rabbi says, Shema Mino, what we can infer from our Mishnah is, obviously from the fact that the Mishnah does not make that differentiation, that loishno yesh laban, that it doesn't make a difference if she had children when she made this neder forbidding her on her yavam, but loishno ein laban, whether she didn't have children, kaivin I say we force him, because that's like karav, Shema Mino, because again, as we said, that she doesn't entertain the yavam whatsoever regarding tashmish. And moreover, that's the same thing by the case that he argues on with Shmuel regarding when she says Netulam and Yehudim, that wouldn't be going on the Yavam, and therefore, like Rav says, that she actually would be permitted to the Yavam because she didn't entertain him, and therefore that wasn't part of the Neder when she said Netulam and Yehudim. Hanloch Beishamay, we shall return to the 13th parak Masech Tzivamas, parak Beishamay, and with that we begin the 14th parak Masech Tzivamas, parak Cheresh Hanasana. This parak continues on the theme of the previous, which is also regarding Kedushin and Yibum, regarding Kedushin and Dirabanan, when we're talking about deaf mutes, minors, different halachas, which are also rabbinic types of unions. So the Mishnah begins. And this Mishnah follows a similar format as the previous parak regarding going through different computations when we're discussing these, when one is rabbinic and one's not rabbinic. So the Mishnah says as follows. Cheresh shenasa b'kachas. If you have a deaf-mute man that marries a fully competent woman, or upikech shenasa chareshes, or the man is a pikech, but the woman is a deaf-mute. So imratz lahaitzi yaitzi, if he wants to divorce her, he could divorce her. But if he wants to stay married to her, he can stay married to her. Now, that the Mishnah explains what are we trying to say. In other words, k'shem shu kainis b'remiza, just like the Rabbanan, the marriage, if one of the parties are deaf-mute, is only rabbinic. Because you have to be fully competent to have a biblical marriage. But rabbinically, you could have the marriage. Now, how do you do that marriage? It's with remiza, with some type of an illusion or a sign language, where because they can't hear and talk. So just like you can marry with sign language, kachu meitzer remiza, so too he could divorce with doing sign language. In other words, the marriage is the same as a divorce. Now the same thing is when he's a bekech and she's a chareshes, where he went and he did sign language to her until she's willing to come and get married to him, so too if he wants a divorce, so he signals to her that he's divorcing her, and that's how the divorce happens. But essentially it's the same thing, it's the same rabbinic marriage, so that's the same rabbinic divorce. Moreover, actually, the Mishnah says, "Pekech shenasa pekachas v'nischarsha." Let's say a fully competent man and woman get married, and then after their marriage, she becomes deaf mute. Now, although the marriage was biblical, imratza yaitzi, if he wants to, he could divorce her. Now, the reason is because although she doesn't have full das, because chareshes doesn't have her das intact, but a get isha doesn't need her das. As later on in the sugyo, this will become clear. So if he wants to, he could still divorce her. And v'mratza yikem, if he wants to, he could stay married to her. Now, however, nishtatis lo yaitzi, if she becomes mentally deranged, then he cannot divorce her. And they will explain the reason is because a woman that becomes deranged has no way of protecting herself, and other people will act with her in an inappropriate way. So this is a rabbinic enactment that if a wife becomes mentally deranged, you can't just go ahead and divorce her. Now, moreover, actually, the Mishnah says, Nischarashu ay nishtata. If the man, after a fully competent marriage, and he goes ahead and he becomes deaf-mute, or he becomes mentally deranged, now, since the marriage was complete, was a kedushin gemurim, eina mitziya lamas, he can never go ahead and divorce her because now he doesn't have his full das. Now, that actually, the Mishnah explains, Amar B'yechim and Nuri, he asked, in way of explanation, he says, I don't understand. Why is it that the woman that, again, both of them were pekech and bekachas, and after they get married, the woman became a deaf mute, you said you could still remove her, but the man that he became a cheresh, then he can't go ahead and remove her. What's the difference? So Amar Loi, they said to him, because there's a fundamental difference between the man that's divorcing and the woman that's getting divorced. Because a woman can be divorced whether she's willing or not. I mean, it has nothing to do with her and with her intelligence, with her agreement. And therefore, even if she becomes a chareshes, which she doesn't have a complete das, he can still divorce her, even though it was a complete marriage. But a man can only divorce according to his competency, according to his will. Now, since the marriage was that kedushin gemurim, the divorce will not be kedushin gemurim because now he's a cheresh. And therefore, although when he was a cheresh married and the cheresh divorced, because that's equivalent of a remiza. But here, a kedushin gemurin will not work with a gerushin deficient in the sense of doing with remiza, and therefore, if he becomes a cheresh, he can never divorce her. Now, similarly, the Mishnah says, Heid Reb Yechinim in Gud Gada al cheresheh she'asi avia. Reb Yechinim in Gud Gada said testimony regarding a following case where there was a minor girl that was a deaf mute, that her father received the kedushin from the husband, which that makes a biblical marriage if that's the father is still alive and he receives the kedushin, she yaitze beget, where she could be removed even with a get. In other words, even if she's already 15, 16, she's already an adult, which the father doesn't have any more authority over her to, let's say, receive the get, In spite of that, he said that she could be removed with a get. Now, Amar Loi, so they told him that's the same thing we're trying to say. Avzu, the case over here where you have a woman that was Bekachas, and then she became a Chareshes, Kayitzim is the same thing where she could also be removed with a get. In other words, although those two, the two cases are the same in the sense that the Kedushin is Gemurin, because although she's a Chareshes, her father received the Kedushin, but then she becomes an adult, and she's a Chareshes, which she could only be removed with Remiza, and the father is not there anymore to make it biblical, yet still he says that she can be removed with a get. Again, that's the same thing as a Pekachas, it becomes a Chareshes, is the same type of thing where the Kedushin was Gemurin, but the Gerushin is not. It doesn't make a difference, she could still be removed. Again, based on this idea where we do not require Das Isha, even though we require Das Ha'ish. Now the Mishnah continues with these halachas regarding how they fit into the context of Yibum. So the Mishnah says, Beis Achin Charashin, if you have two brothers that are deaf-mutes, Nisun lebeis achoyis charashes, that are married to two sisters that are also deaf mutes. Oy l'shte achoyis pekachas, or even if both of the sisters are fully competent. Oy l'shte achoyis, or two sisters, whether achas charashes v'achas pekachas, whether one is deaf mute and one is not. Either way, but since both brothers are charash, or oy the other way around. If you have beis achoyis charashes, you have two sisters that are deaf mutes, that are nisun l'shne achin pekachin, that are married to two brothers that are fully competent. Oy l'shne achin charashin, or whether the two brothers are deaf mute, or whether there's two brothers that echad cheresh ve'echad pekeach, one is a deaf mute and one is not. Either way, harei elu peturis v'nachalitzim v'nivim. Regarding all these cases, since they're sisters married to two brothers, when one of them dies without any children, his wife will be removed and exempt from chalitza and yibum. Now the reason is because whichever case it is, whether they're both the males are charash or the females are charashes, either way, the marriage is going to be this rabbinic marriage that we do for a charash or charashes, either one. Now, the kedushin that's done with his wife will go ahead and say that now the yavama that's falling, which is also the same type of this rabbinic kedushin, because we're doing it with either a charash, with either one, the male or female is a charash, or chareshes, you have to go ahead and do this only rabbinic type of a marriage. The sister falling is achoyis ishtoi. So she's removed from chalitza yibum. She's an erva, although rabbinic erva, but the marriage was rabbinic, so they're all the same thing. So she's exempt from chalitza yibum. Now, v'mhoyu nachrias, if there's two women, whether they were chareshes or not, but at least the marriages that they both had were rabbinic marriages because someone was a charesh. So if the woman that these two brothers married were unrelated, then yichnaisum. Then the brother could do yibum to that wife. And the reason is because you have to actually do yibum. You can't do chalitza, as we had said previously, in the previous parak, that a cheresh or chereshes cannot have chalitza done to them because they don't fit into what's called amar and va'amr. They have to say certain things and they cannot. So therefore, what you have to do is you do yibum. And then later, if he really didn't want to stay married to her, he would have done chalitza, but he cannot do, either because he's a cheresh or she's a chereshes. But he can then remove her with a get, and the reason is because his get that he does with Remiza, again, either because of him or because of her, could remove his marriage that he did now through Yibum and his brother Zika, who again was also with the same thing of Remiza, either because his brother was a Cheresh or because the wife was a Chareshes, so then he could remove her through the get that's done through Remiza. Next case, the Mishnah continues, again, we go through all these different computations. Shnei Achen, if there's two brothers, Echad cheresh v'echad pekeach, one's a deaf mute and one is not. Nisuin l'shtei achoyis pekachas, that's married to two fully competent women. So meis cheresh bal pekachas, so if the one brother that was a deaf mute, that was married to the competent woman, and he dies without any children, mayasu pekeach bal pekachas, so what does his brother that was married to the fully competent woman do? So teitzim ishma achoyis isha. So then, since they're sisters, and the brother has a full-fledged biblical marriage, so her sister is going to be forbidden to him, and therefore she's an erva d'oraisa, and therefore there's no yibman chalitza. Let's say it's the other way around. Let's say mis pekech bal pekachas, if the fully competent man and woman, he dies, mayasa cheresh bal pekachas, so what does the cheresh do, who he's married to, also a fully competent woman, what does he do now that his brother's wife, who's also his wife's sister, falls for him? So that the Mishnah says, mitzi ishte beget. Actually, he has to divorce his wife with a get. And the reason is because her sister, meaning his brother's wife's zika that's falling, is coming from a biblical marriage because both of them were pekeach and pekachas. So that makes his wife forbidden to him because his wife is only rabbinically married. And biblically, she's a chesukuka of his brother's wife. Now, moreover, that his kedushin that he has with his wife is only rabbinic, and therefore it's not enough to say that, oh, this Yavama, she's a chesishta, she's forbidden, she doesn't even enter. It's not true because she's biblical and his wife's only rabbinic. So his wife's forbidden, so he has to divorce his wife. And, but, ve'isha's achav asur la'ilam, his brother's wife will be eternally forbidden to him. And the reason is because since he's a cheresh, he can't do chalitza, because as we said, a cheresh chereshes cannot do chalitza. Now, moreover, he can't do yibum because she's a chesishta, because at least rabbinically there is some type of a wife that he had with this pekachas that he had, even though he was a cheresh. And therefore, at least on a rabbinic level, she's forbidden to him as a chesishta, so she's forbidden forever because he can't do chalitza or yibum with her. Now, the Mishnah continues, shnei achim pikchen. Let's say there's two fully competent brothers. Then in the suin l'shtei achayis that are married to two sisters, achas chareshes v'achas pekachas. One's a deaf mute, and one is fully competent. Now, if meis pekech bal chareshes, if the one that was married to the chareshes dies, so mayasa pekech bal pekachas, what does the one that was married to the fully competent woman do? So teitzim shem achayisisha. He's fully married biblically to his wife. Now, her sister, whether it's even falling from his brother or not, is an erva d'iraisa of achayisisha, and therefore there's no halach of yibm over there, as it is by every erva. Now, meis pekech bal pekachas, if the brother that's competent, that's married to the competent woman, dies, so mayasa pekech bal chareshes, what does the fully competent man that's married to the chareshes do? Where again, his marriage is only rabbinic. So again, as we said before, meitzis ish to beget, so he has to divorce his wife with a get because her sister, Zika, is biblical. His marriage is only rabbinic. So his wife's forbidden because of a chay zikuka, and ves ish esach bechalitza, but for his brother's wife, since he's a bekach, and she's bekachas, so he could do chalitza. He obviously cannot do yibum because she's somewhat of a chis ishtai, but there is a zika deraisa, so he has to remove her with chalitza. Mishnah continues, shnei achen, if there's two brothers, echad cheresh vechad bekeach, one's a deaf mute and one's not, that's nesun l'shtei achayis, is married to two sisters, achas chereshes v'achas bekeachas, one's a deaf mute and one's not. So, obviously the cheresh is the chereshes, the bekeach is the bekachas. So meis cheresh b'chereshes, if the deaf mute man that's married to the deaf mute woman dies, so mayasa b'kech b'pekachas, what does the fully competent man that's married to the fully competent woman do, meaning to her sister? So teitzim mishum achayisisha, since they have a biblical marriage, so her sister in all situations is going to be forbidden because of the erva of achayisisha, and therefore there's no yibum. Now, but let's say meis b'kech b'pekachas, let's say the fully competent man who's married to the sister that's fully competent dies, mayasa cheresh b'chereshes. Now, what does the cheresh that's married to the chereshes do? So again, as we said before, meitzis ish to beket, he has to divorce his wife because his wife is only rabbinically married to him, but her sister is biblically zakuk to him. But ve'eshes achav asur li'aylam, his brother's wife is forbidden to him forever. Again, as we said before, because since he's a cheresh, he cannot do chalitza, and neither can he do yibim because she's on some level, at least rabbinically, considered achis ishtai. It's his wife's sister, although he has to divorce her, but it doesn't make a difference. It would still be, even after he divorces her, it's going to be his wife's sister. Now the Mishnah says, shnei achim. Let's say there's two brothers, echad cheresh ve'echad pikech. One's deaf mute and one's fully competent. That's nesun l'shtei nachriyas pikchas, married to two unrelated women that are fully competent. Meis cheresh ba'pikachas, if the deaf mute that's married to the pikachas dies. Mayasa pikech ba'pikachas, what does the pikech that's married to pikachas do? Well then, oichel etzameyah, make it do either chalitza or yibum. It doesn't make a difference because even though his brother had a rabbinic marriage, dies, but rabbinically there's yibum, and it's unrelated to his wife, so he can do chalitza yibum. Meis pekech ba'pekachas, but if the fully competent brother that's married to the competent woman dies, so mayasa cheresh ba'pekachas, what does the deaf mute, who's married to the pekachas, again unrelated, what does he do? So kainis ve'ina meitzi la'olam. So he does yibum, because there's a biblical zika actually falling from his brother, but he can never remove her, and the reason is he can't do chalitza, as we said, because he's a cheresh, but neither can he give a get, because his get is only beramiz, because he's deaf-mute. That's only like a deficient type of a get. Now, the zika that's coming from his brother is a full-fledged marriage, because his brother was a pikach. That type of a union, which he's taking over, he cannot remove that zika, even though he does yibum and consummates the relationship with his get, which is deficient, and therefore he can never remove her forever. Now the Mishnah continues, shnei achen pikchen, if you have two fully competent brothers, that nesun lebeis nachris, married to two unrelated women, that's achas pekachas, achas kareshas, one's fully competent, one's deaf mute. So Meis Pekeach Bal Charesha, so the fully competent brother that's married to the deaf mute woman, that he dies. So Mayasa Pekeach Bal Pekachas, what does the Pekeach that's married to Pekachas do? So kindness. So as we said before, he can't do chalitza because the Yavama is Chareshes, and the Chareshes you can't do chalitza to. So he does Yibum, then Ratz Lahitza Yetz, and then if he wants to, if he really didn't even want to be married to her, so if he wants a divorce, so he could divorce her with a get. Meis Pekeach Bal Pekachas, if the fully competent brother that's married to the competent woman dies, so Mayasa Pekeach Bal Chareshes, what does the Pekeach that's married to the Chareshes do? So he could do either Chalitza Yibum because his wife has no relationship to that woman, and his brother who has a biblical marriage to his wife, there's a Zik over here, he's Pekeach, she's Pekachas, so go ahead, he can do Chalitza or Yibum. Now the Mishnah says, Shnei Achanev, there's two brothers, Echad Chesh Vechad Pekeach, one's a deaf mute, one's fully competent. The son of the Beis Nachri is married to two unrelated women, Achas Chareshes and Achas Pekachas, one's a deaf mute and one's fully competent. Where again, Chareshes to the Chareshes and Pekeach to the Pekachas. So if Meis Cheresh Bal Chareshes, so if the deaf mute that's married to the deaf mute dies without any children, so Mayasa Pekeach Bal Pekachas, what does the Pekeach who's married to Pekachas do? So Kainis, as we said before, he can't do Chalitza because the Yavama is a Chareshes. But if he wants a divorce, he can go ahead and divorce her. Now, Meis Pekeach Bal Pekachas, if the Pekeach that's married to Pekachas dies, Mayasa Cheresh Bal Chareshes, what does the Cheresh that's married to Chareshes do? So Kainis, as we said before, he can't do Chalitza because he's a Cheresh, and he can't say the Pesukim he has to say. But he does Yibum, Ve'en Maitzleilim, and he can never move it forever, as we said before, because since his get would only be Beremiza, that cannot undo his brother Zika, which was not with Beremiza, which was a full-fledged Kedushin, and therefore his Kainis, Ve'en Maitzleilim. Now the Gemara says, Amram Bochama, he asks a fundamental question that we see from our Mishnah regarding the marriages that are inherent in that of a Cheresh and Chareshes. And he says, Maishno Cheresh b'Chareshes, what's the difference by a man that's a deaf mute or a woman that's a deaf mute? We're Takinu Luhu Rabbana Nisun. We're obviously from our Mishnah that we see that the Rabbana instituted some type of rabbinic marriage because the Mishnah says that they need chalitza. Obviously that the brother had some type of kiddushin and nisuin, although he's a cheresh or she's a chereshes, where although they're not b'nei das, and biblically there's no kinyan, there's no biblical marriage, still the Rabbanan instituted, and that's why if the husband dies, they need chalitza from, or even from the brother. Now, umayshno d'shoyte v'shoyto, what's the difference by a male that's deranged or a female that's deranged? The loyta kinaluhu rabban nisun, the rabban did not institute any rabbinic marriage for those individuals. The Tanakh learned the braisa. The braisa is shaita bekotin shenosu nashim amesu. If a shaita, a mentally deranged man or a minor, marries women and they die, nishasein paturism v'nachalitzim yibim. Their wives are exempt, even on the rabbinic level, from yibim chalitzim because we didn't view them as married at all. Now the question is why? Both of them are considered lav b'nei das. They don't have the proper intelligence to fulfill the biblical marriage. Yet Rabbanan instituted marriage for a deaf mute, but why not for a shaita? So I think my answer is cheresh v'chareshes by the male and female deaf mutes. The kaima tekanta de Rabbanan, where the Rabbanan's institution will last. In other words, a cheresh or even with a chareshes, when they get married, there's peace amongst them. Now, most definitely, if the man is a pekeach, where there's definitely going to be a relationship that's peaceful, where if he's fully competent and she's deaf-mute, where they'll be able to be stay married. So tekin rabban nisun, rabban instituted marriage, well, though biblically they don't fit the category, but the rabbi said, let them get married. But shoita, but my mentally deranged man, even if his wife is fully competent, and v'shoita, and a female that's mentally deranged, that even if she's married to a fully competent man, where it's not normal, it's not regular for them to have peace. Most definitely, when you have a mentally deranged man married to a mentally deranged woman, to like kaima the kanta draban, where the rabbinic enactment won't last. In other words, fine, they'll make a rabbinic marriage, but they won't stay married because the ein odem daram nachash b'kfifa achas. No man can stay with a snake in one box. In other words, we're trying to say that they have that, like a snake type of characteristic where since they're mentally deranged, it's very trying to be married to them, and therefore it's not going to last. So Rabban did not institute this rabbinic marriage, again, because it wouldn't last anyway when they're mentally deranged, whereas by Chemish HaKharesh is where they can have a peaceful life, so although they don't have the proper das, they instituted a rabbinic marriage. Now, but the Gemara asks, but a Maishno Katan, what's the difference by a minor where in the Brice that we just introduced, that we said, Deloitekin Rabban Nisun, where the Rabban did not enact a rabbinic marriage, where, as the Brice says, that's why their wives would not need Yim Chalitza, in spite of the fact that you could have a peaceful relationship with a minor, and yet V'cherishtekin Rabban Nisun, why when the man is a Katan, and we said his marriage is not even rabbinically valid, when he's a deaf mute, which essentially, regarding to the halachas of marriage, they're both not b'nei das, and they don't have biblical marriage, but by cherish we instituted marriage. Why? What's the difference? So that the Gemara says that cherish to the la'asi, a deaf mute man that will never come l'chlal nisuin to the category of biblical marriage, because he'll never have das, so the Kin Rabban Nisun's Rabban instituted this too, and said that he shouldn't be single for the rest of his life, that he won't be able to have a relationship of marriage. But Katan, the Asir Chal Nisun, a minor that will one day become an adult, and he'll be able to have biblical marriage, so let the Kin Rabban Nisun, Rabban did not find it necessary to institute a rabbinic marriage for the minor. But the Gemara asks, but Vare Katana, but you have a female that's a minor, the Asir Chal Nisun, that she will also one day enter the category of marriage. Yet for the Kin Rabban Nisun, when the father is not alive anymore, and she's the Yisayma, the Rabban did institute marriage for the minor. Why? What's the difference? Why is the difference between the Katan and the Katana, where she'll also one day become able to have biblical marriage? Why did we institute rabbinic marriage for the female minor? That the Gemara answers, that's a rabbinic enactment that Hasim Shle Yinuguba Minig Hafka. We didn't want that men should act promiscuous and inappropriate with her, and that is because if there's no one that can marry her, so no one's going to safeguard her because her father's not alive anymore, and people are going to act in an inappropriate way with znus with this female, and that's what Rabban instituted for that reason, that she should be able to have a rabbinic marriage, but again, by the cotton where you don't have that concern, therefore we didn't institute rabbinic marriage because one day he'll be an adult and be able to have a biblical marriage.